we left off in the previous year, a couple of days ago. We just introduced the sugya of Bnei Banim Aram Kibanim. How do we get onto the sugya? So the Gemara was discussing the drush of Ein Kesef, whether you're out of it, etc. So one of the drushes that the Gemara had, it was a similar style drusha, was this din, but it appears in the Emor that a Bas Kohen is, of course, permitted to eat truma. If she marries a Yisrael, she's not allowed to eat truma anymore. What if the Yisrael dies? What if the Yisrael divorces us? And then the Torah says that it depends. So Bas Kohen Kisiya Mano Grusha Vizera Eimla. It all revolves around whether she has any children from the Yisrael. If she has a child from the Yisrael, then the child is Ma'akif, the child pulses her from eating truma. If Vizera Eimla, if she doesn't have any children, then she goes back with Shavuot basically Kinura. Fine, that's the deal. So the Gemara begins to discuss what's considered to be a Zera, what's considered to be a child for these purposes. So the Gemara has two possible drushes. One possible drush is even a Zera apostle, even a Mamzer maybe, we'll see who exactly is a Zera apostle. Maybe a Zera apostle is also considered to be a Zera for these purposes. And maybe a grandchild is also considered to be a Zera for these purposes. So the Gemara finally decides in Dalam and Aleph that you don't really need a apostle to tell me a grandchild. Like, let's say she had a child and that child had a child. And then her original child dies. So technically it's Zera Eimla, she doesn't have a child. No, so that's a double pasha that the grandchild still counts as Zera. Why? Because Bnei Banim Aram Kibanim. So Tosfos is very, very quick to point down in Masechet Bava Basra that the klal of Bnei Banim Aram Kibanim is not an all-inclusive klal. It only applies when the Torah uses the word Zera. It also shows you, right, Masechet Bava Basra, guide you from last week. So when all the dust settles, the din is that whenever the Torah formulates a mitzvah, formulates a din using the phrase Zera, so then we say Bnei Banim Aleg Bonim. Whenever the Torah uses the word ben, so then, not necessarily. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. Well, we need a pasuk to tell me. If you don't have a pasuk to teach me otherwise, then the starting point is that by the word ben itself, so Bnei Banim Atakan Nahakibon. So at the very end of the shiur last week, so we quoted the Gemara Maseches Kedushin that has to be now understood in light of this discussion. The Gemara Maseches Kedushin discusses the mitzvah of teaching Torah to one's children. Shinam Dom Vanecha. It's a mitzvah in the Torah to teach Torah to one's children. The Gemara raises the question, does that mitzvah apply to one's grandchildren also? So one Tana says that the answer is no, because it doesn't say. It says Vishnatim Vanecha, it says Vimadatim Asamas Vene, it doesn't say anything about grandchildren. So the starting point is that no. And the other Tana says no, that there is a mitzvah in a Torah to teach Torah to one's grandchildren, but it's based on a different pasuk, Vodatim Levanecha Levnei Vanecha. So that's a special gilu, that's a special riboy to include a grandchild. What does the other Tana do with that pasuk? It's a pasuk humish. What does the other Tana do? So the Gemara explains that the other Tana holds that pasuk is not the Torah's tzivui. That's just a statement of fact. Namely, that when you teach Torah, if you decide to teach Torah to your grandchildren, so it's a gevaldik thing. It's ki'ilu kibol Torah mi'sinai or something. You know, that pasuk is in the context of a drush, context of musar, of chizuk, but it's not really a halachic statement. So that's machlokes zatenayim. But the phrase v'adat levenecha levenecha is in a halachic context, that it's an outright Torah obligation to teach Torah to your grandchildren, similar. But I say, no, that's more of a drush, kind of a kabbal schar kind of a thing, but it's not really a chiyuv. You see klar from that entire sugya, that if not for the special gzeres hakasef, and according to some of the Tanaim who didn't buy into that gzeres hakasef, they held that pasuk was not the Torah's tzivui. So the starting point is, the baseline is, that there's no mitzvah to teach grandchildren. Why? I, Bnei Banim Aram Kibanim. Like Tosfos writes in Bava Basra, that you don't say Bnei Banim Aram Kibanim unless the Torah uses the magic word zera. The word ben just doesn't have the connotation. You look up in the dictionary, in the Halachapedia, and the definition of zera means offspring, descendants, lederi deris. The definition of ben means a son. So my grandson, not my son. So my son, yeah, my grandson, no. And even the Tanakh says grandson, yes, that's only because of a special zera. There is a little bit of a problem, a big problem, with that whole Gemara Maseches Kedushin, the Machlokes HaTanaim, about whether there's a special mitzvah to teach your grandchild Torah, and even the Tanakh says there is, needs a special pasuk. What's the problem? There's a big, big problem with that Gemara. What's the big problem with that Gemara? It's a huge problem. What? I can't hear you. What? No, so we said, so one Tanakh explains that pasuk as a chiyuv, and the other says it's Petarus, Kabbal Schar. What's the huge problem, underlying problem in that sugya? There's something that's glaring in that sugya. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah writes, there's a mitzvah in HaTorah to teach all Tamidim. Let's say I'm saying a shir now, so you guys are my sons, but that's a mitzvah in HaTorah to teach Torah. Why is that? Because the Torah Rav explains, Vishnat Levanecha, Vanecha Eilu Tamidecha. It's opening Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah. So Anytime a person teaches Torah to anybody, they're fulfilling a mitzvah deraisa v'shinat l'rochem. Manecha doesn't only mean biological sons. So what's the Gemara talking about? The Gemara is asking machlekes whether there's a mitzvah for me to teach my grandson. Why is my grandson worse than somebody else's grandson? And I teach Torah to you, so you all have grandfathers. So you are your grandfather's grandchildren. So I'm teaching somebody else's grandchild. So why should my own grandchild be worse than somebody else's grandchild? So what kind of thing am I talking about? The whole Gemara is Mamash Pella. The Gemara is talking about is a grandson called a biological son, not called a biological son? Is it a spousal? Not a bukhle? Why should the grandson be worse than any other Talmud is not related to me at all? So the Acharayim, the developer, you say it appears already in the Lechem Mishnah, and then the Baruch Be'er has a little bit more elaborates about it. But clearly, the Gemara is talking about two different types of teaching Torah. There are two different chiyuvim. There's a chiyuv, a general, din klali, is a general obligation to teach Torah to everybody. The Shinat Levanech, the Tesh Rapeh, explains, Eilu Tamidecha, Shkei Matzinu, that B'nei Hanavim, B'nei Hanavim, they weren't the biological sons of Elisha, not B'nei, they were just Tamidim, and they're still called the Banim. That's what the Gemara says, that a Rebbe is considered to be a father, Avi Rechem Yisrael Parashav. That's where the Gemara, that passage by Elisha and Eliyahu, that's what the Gemara says in my cut, and that's the source that first has to tear Kriya if his Rebbe passes away, because the Rebbe is considered to be a certain degree, like a father. He revealed the day Olam Haba. Father brings in Olam Hazeh, and the Rebbe brings in Olam Haba. So there is a general din that every person, whoever has the ability to teach Torah to anybody, any other member of Klal Yisrael, has an obligation, has a responsibility to try to do that, whatever shape or form they can do that. That's a general din. But then there's a din prati, there's a special halacha that requires of me to take care of my own children. It's like Moshe Badavadam, you have it by Mila, you have the same thing. But there's a chiyuv on the father to be mal his son. We just read it yesterday, Shkriyas Torah. 2 days ago, Shkriyas Torah. V'yomel Avram, yesterday was decade. V'yomel Avram is Yitzhak Beno, Benchuk HaShetziv HaSor Elokim. So the Gemara in Kedushin Dav Chav Tes says that's the source, that a father has a unique obligation to be mal his son. In addition to that, if I know that there's an oral in the community, I have to try to do whatever I can to get this child mal. Not my son, not my son, my grandson, not related to him at all. That's another thing. Molechem Kol Zachar. So you have a similar type of halach when it comes to Talmud Torah. Everybody has to spread Torah. There's a mitzvah to be marbitz Torah. Whatever shape or form to be marbitz Torah. You can take shiurim, you can be marbitz Torah. You write, you'll send out an email with about Torah, they'll distribute it in the shuls. So that's good. You're being marbitz Torah. A lot of ways to be marbitz Torah. So that's a beautiful, wonderful thing. But then there's another thing, my own child. So I have a special chi of a chobas ha'avol ha'bein to teach my own child Torah. So that's the machlekes ha'tanoim. Whether that chobas avol ha'bein is that only al ha'bein mamish, or is that even on a ben banim? So one Tana says that v'odat levanech levanech is mechadish to me that in addition to the regular din of teaching Torah to everybody, I have to teach my own biological son. So one Tana says my biological grandson is included, and the other Tana says no, that biological grandson is not included. Only a bein. A grandson is also a nice thing. I don't have to throw my grandson out of the shiur. He can also come to the shiur. But when he comes to the shiur, it's no different than anybody else's grandson comes to the shiur. So my nafkumi, at the end of the day, I gotta teach Torah anyway. So at the end of the day, if my grandson knocks at the door and wants to hear a shtickle Torah, or if somebody else's grandson knocks at the door after hear Torah, what's the difference? At the end of the day, I have to teach Torah to everybody. So what's added to us by the special chi of Alabain? What's added in this machlokes says I'm not the grandson? So the Lechem Mishnah writes, and the Baruch Be'er elaborates a little bit more, but the Lechem Mishnah writes, no, it's chaps a big nafkamin ladina. Nafkamin ladina is, who has to pay the bill? Who's got to put the bill for this mitzvah? So when it comes to teaching Torah to other people's children, I'm not going to do that. If you have someone who's mamish poor, and they can't afford to go to school, so then there's mitzvah tzedakah. So I have to provide everybody, I have to try to help needs. I have to try to help if a person doesn't have food, so I have to give him money for food. If he doesn't have clothing, I give him money for clothing. If he doesn't have money to get married, I have to give him money to get married. Whatever the normal tzarchi or demar, I have to try to help people out. So if a kid Nebuch doesn't have money to pay tuition, so he's going to walk the streets, so we have an obligation of tzedakah to try to help out. But then there's another din, there's a different din, that I'm a chuyuf to pay my children's tuition. Why? Because I'm really supposed to teach my children Torah myself. That's what's really supposed to happen. That's what happened in the old days, the Gemara says. I can't say the good old days because the Gemara says it wasn't so good, that it fell. The system fell. The Gemara in the Sefer Berachot Vas is a famous story that in the olden days, so the fathers would teach the sons, like it says in the Chumash, not Levanecha. And not all the fathers knew how to learn, and sometimes the father had to go to work, then sometimes the father passed away, sometimes you had situations where children weren't going to school. So in the days of the Vayishen, Shubin Gamla, the Kohen Gadol, made it Takana, we have to start opening up Chadar, we got to open up an elementary school, because otherwise, too many kids are going in between the cracks. So once we already have elementary schools open, so the fathers start teaching the children, so they also set up the school. But the father has a chiyuv, since the father's primary has a chiyuv to teach his children Torah, he has to pay the bill to make sure that his children learn Torah. So that din that I have to pay the bill, that's a part of the mitzvah will tell us al av. That's not mutal on somebody else. I'm not mechiv to pay for somebody else unless the kid is mamish so poor, mamish can't afford it. It never chiv. So if the kid doesn't have clothes to wear, that's a different story. But in terms of can a school send me a tuition statement for somebody else's child? No, can't send me that. Unless the kid's such an oni, they could send me a tuition statement for my kid because that's my chovas ha'avala day. So that's the machlokes ha'tanoim. Can they send a tuition statement to the grandfather? So that's what the Lacha Mishnah writes. That if you hold that a grandfather mamish is a chiv like a father, before you were so excited about this pasuk, now you're not so excited anymore. Without teaches me that there's a chiv on the grandfather mamish identical to the son, to the father. It's the same type of chiv, so that's gonna cost a pretty penny. That's gonna cost a tuition statement in the mail. If you hold that, without v'necha doesn't really apply to the grandfather. That's just a haftacha, just a nice drush, a nice kabbal schar. But the real chiv is only on the father, not on the grandfather. Then the pashas, they do not have a right to send it to the grandfather. So there are certain chadarim, certain schools that send tuition statements to the grandparents, and they quote this that the Rambam paskins v'dachlo v'necha v'necha. We pasken like that tana, but there is a chiv that you have to teach a grandchild. So the Lecha Mishnah says that translates to mean vowels and cents. The only thing is that if they're intellectually honest and they put a little star on the bottom, that according to many, that's only true if it's a paternal grandson. It's if your son's son, that's as the pasuk says, "Adatam levanecha, lizmei vanecha." If it's your daughter's son, and we love our, you know, person can love their daughter's children. We hope they love their daughter's children also. But this is a chiddush haTorah, "Adatam levanecha, lizmei vanecha." So according to many, that only goes derech the son, doesn't go derech the daughter. So now it depends. If they send you a tuition statement in the mail from your daughter's children's school, they can send it back that the Lecha Mishnah Dr. Paskin, that's not true. But they can't charge tuition for the halavai. That's what you're going to send back. So anyway, whatever it is. But that's the discussion. But getting back to the story. So Hadagelin Yaneinu, you see for this whole sugya, the whole Gemara, the whole discussion, the Gemara, that Tosis is right. Tosis is clearly right. But the word ben doesn't mean never ever has the connotation of bnei banim unless there's some special drasha to the country. So it's this sugya that really poses a very, very big challenge to Kinega. It's a very difficult tshuva. Who might say it's a difficult tshuva? Kinega, we have to just send Torah as best as we can. But there's a statement of Kinega in a tshuva that's very, very hard to understand. Kinega is discussing a shayla, it's called the tshuva nuchas mila, discussing the following shayla. Gemara says, in the end of the 19th bracha, Masech HaShabbos, when you do a bris, there are a whole series of brachas that are made. You make al hamila, that's not a big surprise that you make a bracha al hamila, because that's it's like any other mitzvah, so Shekhi Shalom HaLamim, that's the bracha that Mael makes. But then out of left field, the Gemara quotes, that Ra'av ar machnisa mavisa shalom avinu. And the father makes another bracha, Shekhi Dishanim, it says lachnisa mavisa shalom avinu. So what Mishem bothered? What's this bracha doing here? What exactly is the point of this bracha? He just made a bracha. Second, the Moel did the mitzvah. He cut off the oilers. So they made the bracha. Alamila. What's the father? What other mitzvah is taking place? Very, very difficult problem that all the Rishonim are bothered with. Rabbi Natan was so bothered with this kasha. Remember, we must have talked about this in the past. Rabbi Natan was so bothered with this kasha that what did he conclude? That lachnis was not a what? It's not a bracha mitzvah. Not a birchas mitzvah. If it's a mitzvah, we said already. What is it? If it's not a birchas mitzvah, it's a birchas shevach. It's praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the beautiful, wonderful bris milah that we're doing and all the wonderful things we're entering the bris milah avinu. The birchas mitzvah we did already. We're done. Shon get it. Marshal Amar David Dover, Rabbi Natan himself quotes this marshal a little bit. But sometimes you find nusach brachas echazal mesachin that sound very, very birchas mitzvahish. They open up with the same text of birchas mitzvah. Asher kiddushan of mitzvah sevitivanu. And then they go off on left field and they start talking about other things, which leads us to believe that they're not regular brachas and mitzvahs. What's the famous model? The Rush in the beginning of Masechet Ksuvos is a very, very famous model of a bracha. Brachas Erusin, the Rush writes that the bracha you say under the chuppah, And I learn Kiddush. Asher Kiddushanu, it starts out like a Birchas HaMitzvah. Asher Kiddushanu, Kiddushanu, Mitzvah, Vitzivanu. And then it starts going off into somewhere else. Allah, Arayals, Vyasalanas, Arusals, Vitzivan. What happened to the Birchas HaMitzvah? What happened to the punchline? Asher Kiddushanu, Mitzvah, Vitzivanu, Lakadish HaSeisha. What happened to it? So the Rashi writes, you know why it doesn't exist? Why doesn't it exist as a Rashi? What happened to the normal Nusra Bracha? You're telling a story about Arayas and Arusas. What happened to the regular Nusra Bracha? The Kaddish is Ish and finished. What does the Rashi say? Because there's no mitzvah to get married, the Rashi says. Because people are living in this year. The Rashi says there's no mitzvah to get married. So where's the Tim Chubish? We just spoke about it the other day. Kika Chishish, not a mitzvah in the Torah. Kika Chishish means if and when you get married, this is how you do it. But there's no mitzvah in the Torah to get married. There's a mitzvah to have children. It's true, the way the Torah, the way the halacha is set up, so it's very hard to have children to have there unless one gets married first. And you run into a couple of other halachic obstacles. But in terms of the bare, basic mitzvah itself, is there a mitzvah being fulfilled under the chuppah by giving a ring? No mitzvah, says the Rashi. That's why there's no bracha. So what is a bracha? So if there's no mitzvah, there's no bracha. So what are we saying under the chuppah? What's Hashem? What are you doing, Masad? What's the Masad Kedushin getting the big kibbut for? What's he saying? So the Rashi is not a birchas mitzvah, it's a birchas shevach. It's praising the Kaddish Baruch for the beautiful institution of marriage, but there's no real mitzvah here, it's just a birchas shevach. That's where Ben Tam says the same idea by Bris Mila. By Bris Mila, it is a mitzvah to do a bris, that everyone agrees to, and there is a mamila, that's the first bracha. The second bracha is not really a birchas mitzvah. That was Ben Tam's solution to the problem. And the other Rishonim were really, really bothered with this kasha. Other Rishonim said it's not true. Other Rishonim said, no, it really is a birchas mitzvah. So it's a birchas mitzvah, so but you said a birchas mitzvah, what are you saying another one for? So the Rambam seems to solve this problem with a comment in the Rambam. In Hilchos Milah, let's clear how the Rambam solved this problem. The Rambam writes that what if there's no father? The Gemara's Lashon is Avi Abayim Mevarach Lech Nisay. What if there's no father? So the Rambam writes that he saw in some places it would be mechabit somebody else. The rabbi would get up, somebody else would get up and make the Brach Lech Nisay. So the Rambam writes he doesn't think that those practices are correct. He thinks that if there's no father, you shouldn't make the bracha to him. Gemara says, Avi Abayim Mevarach, if there's no Avi Abayim, then there's no bracha. So what does that mean? How is the Rambam solving the problem? What's clear from the Rambam? That the Rambam understood that what is Lech Nisay? So it's a brachas mitzvah. But which mitzvah? The father to this. It means it's not the mitzvah in general. There's a general mitzvah of Himalachem Kol Zohar. So when the mayon cuts off the orla, so he's performing that mitzvah, so he has to make a bracha. But then there's a separate mitzvah that the father has to make sure that his son is gemalt. So when the father is, either the father does it himself, or when the father authorizes somebody else to do it, so the father is now fulfilling his obligation, lachnisa v'sasham avinu. So Chazal instituted a second bracha to highlight that second chiyuv that the father has, and therefore the Rambam says, in the absence of the father, so then the absence of the bracha doesn't make any sense. According to Rabbi Tam, it's a bit of a shevach, you should make the bracha whether the father's around or not. But according to the Rambam, the bracha doesn't make any sense in the absence of the father. That's the sheet. So Amninig is not like the Rambam. Amninig, you have a bris, the father's not alive, the father's not from, the father's not around. So Amninig is that somebody else makes the bracha. So who is that somebody else who makes the bracha? So usually the standard practice today is that the Sandik makes the bracha. That's the minute. The son makes the Baal Bris. So there are three Baalei HaBris. There's the father, the Moel, and the son. Those are the three people who are involved in the mitzvah. The Taka Halacha is that emanate from that. Let's say if you would have, we spoke about this, if you have a Tishra of Mitcha, you have a Tanis Tiba that's Mitcha, so the din is that the three Baalei HaBris are permitted to eat. So either in the afternoon or in the morning, depending on different opinions, but the Baalei HaBris are permitted to eat. It's basically about Mitzvah's Erevim. So the three Baalei HaBris are the father, the Moel, and the son. That's why if either one of these three are in shul, that's why there's no tachanun in the morning, even if the bris is not going to be in the shul. Let's say a guy is a sandak, he knows he's going to be a sandak at 11 o'clock in the morning, and he's davening an earlier minyan, so then there's no tachanun at that minyan for shachas. By mincha, there is tachanun, except the sandak himself doesn't say tachanun by mincha, because for him it's considered to be a yantif shaloi. That's why I thought I was a sandak Erev Rosh Hashanah. So I was normally a minyan to fast in Erev Rosh Hashanah, till chatzos, many people have such a custom. So I was anyway because I thought I was invited to the bris, so I was going to go anyway. So the post can say, well, no, bris is already enough for Suda's mitzvah to be doicha, this minig of not eating to chatzais and never shor. But then when they found out that I was a sandik, so I had even more of a reason to eat, even greater reason, but it's not much mechuyif to eat. I ate at the bris and never shor. But some post can say, if you would have a bris today and some gedalia, you can eat. Why? because it's a din like a nitcha. Some say some gedaya is always like a nitcha, because gedaya really was killed on Aleph Tishrei. It's nitcha because it's yom tov, so it's nitcha to gimel. So some say that some gedaya is always a nitcha. So most pasukim say some gedaya is not a nitcha. The Chazal were they were kaveya gimel Tishrei because they couldn't kaveya Aleph Tishrei. It's not like Tishrei B'Av falls out once every few years; it falls out on Shabbos, so it's nitcha. It sometimes every once in a while is a nitcha. If some gedaya, if gimel Tishrei had fallen out on Shabbos and pushed off to Sunday, then it's a nitcha. But it falls out on today, Wednesday. It falls out. It's hard to remember the day of the week. Today's Wednesday, so that's not considered to be a nitcha. One time I was almost ate in some gedaya nitcha a couple of years ago. It was a tzom gedaya nitcha, and I was just to be sonic then also. So I was all excited. I was all ready to roll. I was going to eat. So I said, "Shtein shochan achli mechuyefti." I'll just do this mitzvah mechuyefti. But then they decided to do the bris late in the afternoon, right after mincha, right before shkia. The bris 10 minutes before shkia. So a big simcha. So at that point, I could have sat down and eat. Whoop to do at that point. Tana stam damai for any. Okay. Anyway, get back to the story. So our minig is that the sandig is considered to be part of the balei bris, so he's the one who recites the bracha. So we can make, this is all the background. We're learning kedushin davdal. We just have to get to. So Rabbi Kivega has the following shayla. He sent to them that Maisa Shaya that the father apparently wasn't alive, was away or whatever. The father wasn't a player over here, and the sandik, it was a grandfather. Father's father was present at the bris. The grandfather wasn't the sandik. Why wasn't the grandfather the sandik? He'd probably been a sandik earlier for the family. Ramo quotes admitting that we don't repeat the sandikos in the same family. So that's a dominic many people follow. So whatever it was, so here you had the moel was here, the father of the baby was assuming not alive anymore, the grandfather was here, and there was a sandik. So who should get the bracha lachaniso? So the way the question was presented to the kivegar, the sandik should get it. That's what our meaning is. We usually give it to the sandik. So the kivegar said no. He said that's not correct. He said if the grandfather's around, so then the grandfather has first rights to the bracha lachaniso. Against the minhag Yisrael that you normally give it to the sandik. Mayhai, what's the schus of the grandfather in the bracha lachaniso? So the Kivega says that it's based on a few things. So he says, first of all, he says there are some Mishanim who say that the bracha of lachaniso. Remember, we started out by saying, why are we making a bracha lachaniso? What's the bracha on? So some Mishanim say that, I think Avud Ram has such an idea, I think others have such an idea, that there are a lot of chiyuvim that the father has on the son. Father has to do bris milah, has to do pidyon ben. Got to teach him Torah, got to teach him parnasas, got to get him married, got to teach him how to swim, a lot of chiyuvim that the Gemara says in Maseches Kedushin. So how come we don't find a bracha on all of them? We only find a bracha on Mila and Pidja Ben. Let's say when the father teaches the kid how to swim, we don't make a bracha. Off the diving board, we don't make a bracha. How come he brings him to cheder the first day, opening day of elementary school? We don't make a bracha. How come when he walks him down to chuppah, so he's lasil isha? How come? I don't make a shekhin isha mitzvah, it's vero, lahasias bini isha. How come when he teaches him a parnasa, so when he's sitting over to make sure they pass his region, so after you don't find, makes him take his, takes the SATs, I don't know what he's taking, makes him make sure he gets a good grade in college. Every time you knock him over the head and make a nishamah, he tells him, Tzibano, for lambda umnas, we don't find such a bracha. Why is there no such bracha? So if I'm not mistaken, I think the Budram already says, that's what the bracha b'chnisa b'vishlam b'vinu is all about. B'chnisa b'vishlam b'vinu is the general, it starts out with bris milah, but it's kind of kol everything. It carries you over for everything you're going to do. Everything that's part of becoming a nice Jewish boy. So being a nice Jewish boy means you have to have a bris, and you have to be the first boy, you have to pinch a band, you got to go to school, you got to get married, you got to get a job, you got to know how to swim. Those are all parts of being part of official Jewish manhood. So the father makes one brach at the beginning and it passes throughout the duration. So according to this understanding that appears in Mishnah already, the brach lachniso doesn't only speak about the milah. Speaks about the Lamda Torah also. Speaks about Lasi Elisha. Speaks about all the chivim down the line. So Rabbi Kivega writes, the grandfather has a shtickle shaychas, not a bracha, because we pass in Vodat Levanecha Levanecha. We pass in that a grandfather, although a grandfather is not really chayav to be Mala's child, but he's not really chayav to do pidyon ben on the child. He's not really chayav to marry off his grandchild. Maybe help pay for the wedding. Okay, well, really not. Different story. But he is chayav to teach the grandchild Torah. So since he's chayav to teach the grandchild Torah, he has a shaychus, he has a keshet to this bracha, because this bracha lachnisa was shaykh to lambda Torah, because this is the bracha of all the chiyuvim. So the sandik is a stranger. So why do we give the bracha to the sandik when there's no father around? Who else are we going to give it to? The caterer? Who are we going to give it to? The stranger is going to make the bracha. So the sandik, he's the one sitting there, he's closest there. He's doing the mitzvah, so we say, masna mitzvah, look more, we say, you say lach niso. But when there's a grandfather who was a real candidate for this bracha, pidin, so Rabbi Kivega thought that was more important. That's Rabbi Kivega's finish. Okay, nice, beautiful shtutara. But then at the end of the tshuva, Rabbi Kivega throws in another thing. Rabbi Kivega says, you know, says even though it's not my son, it's my grandson, but it could be that I am a shtikl chayef to make sure that my grandson gets a bris. Because it's like a shtikl like B'nai Banim or Kibanim, that the special chiyuv HaTorah by Yom Al Avim Mesitzach Vuel B'Shponos Yomim is not just for a son, that's the main chiyuv, but it could be just as by Tam HaTorah there's the chiyuv goes to B'nai Banim, so to my bris maybe it also goes to B'nai Banim, and therefore even without the whole connection between bris, without Lach Niso and all the other mitzvahs of Lebein, just it's part of the chiyuv of bris milah, to make sure my grandchildren have bris milah also. So the Kavega says maybe that's another reason to opt for giving the bracha Lach Niso to the grandfather over to giving it to the sandik. So that's a big pella. That's a tremendous chiddush, because we just quoted a Taisa Bava Basa, we quoted Gemara Tzadhan by Moilech, we quoted whole singing Kedusha by Bnei Banim Reim Kibanim by the Lamb of Torah. That's not true. That whenever the Torah says the word Bain, that does, the baseline is it does not include grandchildren. What does it say by Bris Mila? V'yom al Avram Eswa? It doesn't say it's Yitzchak ben Beno. Because he wasn't his ben Beno. It doesn't say it says V'yom al Avram Es Yitzchak Beno. He only gemalt his son. So the Chiyav is Lomel Es HaBein. So we cannot extrapolate from, well, by Tam HaTorah, the din is Bnei Banim Reim Kibanim. No. Tam HaTorah is a Chiddush HaTorah. Tam HaTorah is a Gzeres HaKosov. Tam HaTorah shouldn't have been that way also. The Lulei for the Gzeres HaKosov, and that's for Horaya, the Tana who holds that there is no Pasuk of Vodavam. Not that he holds there's no Pasuk, everyone agrees there's a Pasuk. But that Pasuk doesn't mean that the Torah is Chiyav. According to that Tana, that there's no Chiyav to teach your grandchild Torah. So there is no Chiyav. So finish. There's no Chiyav. So by Bris Mila, there's no Chiyav. There's no Pasuk. So how can you make up a din in a Torah that there's a chiyuv and a grandfather? The grandfather is the same as any other stranger. So he's just as matin to the bracha as the santik or the caterer or anybody else that's sitting around. So that's bara. The end, Rukiyaga throws the end of the tshuva is very, very hard to understand. Doesn't it fit into this whole picture? The first half is the makabel. Okay, if you hold like those we shown him, that the bracha of Lach Niso is going on all the mitzvahs. If you like, Rabbi Natan didn't think that, the Ram didn't think that, but if you like that idea, so then I understand why the grandfather has a kedima for the bracha. If you don't buy into that idea, so the second thing Rabbi Kivega throws in is very, very hard to understand. Okay, but anyway, getting back to that story. So what do we have here in terms of these different words? Learning a little bit of Lashon HaKodesh over here. So we have to know what the word Zera means, you have to know what the word Bain means. So when it comes to the word Zera, so we find Bnei Banim Reim Kibanim. When it comes to the word Bain, there's no such thing. Basically, Bnei Banim are not really Kibanim when it says the word Bain. So there is a big problem that the Rosh Hashanah bother with, that this definition of words doesn't seem to play out throughout the Masechta. There is a Gemara later right around the end of the third, where the Gemara also uses the word Zera, but uses it in a little bit of a different context. So the second half of the picture, I only gave the first half of Tosfos. We're back to the second Tosfos of Basra. Tosfos says that the word Zera means Bnei Banim Kibanim, Ben means Bnei Banim Kibanim. But then there's another question about what is the meaning of the word Zera or Ben vis-a-vis a Zera Posel. What if the child that you have is not such a good Yichus child? The child is a Posel, the child is a Mamzer or something. So is that considered to be your Zera? Is that considered to be your Ben? So here Tosfos says, here the words flip Lagamri differently. Why? Is he considered to be my Bain? Is he a person that has a biological son who happens to be a mamzer? Is he his Bain? Yes, he is his Bain. Mamzer Bain? Biologically, is his Bain. So a mamzer, is there a apostle? He is considered to be a Bain. Is a Zera apostle considered to be a Zera, with the Torah formulates in terms of Zera? So what do you see from Agamara? What's the right from Agamara? The Gemara says, Zera ain law, ain li al kosher. The baseline is only Zera kosher. Zera apostle, minayin. The only reason why Zera Apostle is included is Nebuch, because the Rosh Hashanah put into the Torah an extra Yud that didn't really belong, that we could have done without. So the extra letter Yud is a superfluous letter, otherwise superfluous letter teaches me after the Zera Apostle. But the starting point is that the word Zera has the connotation of an offspring, of a, what are some other good words? What? Progeny. Those words have a certain connotation to them. Like, I'm proud, you know, in generations to come. he's taking my place, he's representing me, you know, he's just like the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That's what the word zera, you know, that's the context of zera. Nebuch is a mamzer. That's your zera. It's your biological bane, but it's not your zera. So it could be that it's almost like l'shitasa, so to speak, that the apostle is not really zera. The reason why the word zera has a certain connotation, bane has another connotation, the two differences are really l'shitasa. That the word zera has much more of a connotation of you know, the future, like you plant a seed, so that's going to plant another seed, it's going to plant another seed, it's going to plant another seed, it's going to go to deri, deri, deris. That's what the word zera means. Bain means, tachlis, you have a biological son who just came out of you. Is he going to have another son? I don't know if he's going to have another son. Is he kosher? Is he possible? I don't, I'm not looking to the future. If he's biologically, he's got the same DNA as you, so sure, he's your bane. Zera is planting. It was razarecha. I mean, much, much, much more long-term type of a thing. That's why when it comes to zera, b'nei banim akarei gabanim, because my great-great-great-great-great-grandchild is also my zera. My bane is my zera. On the other hand, my zera posel, guy gives birth to a mom zera. First of all, his mom's probably not going to have any children. Probably not gonna, we don't want him to get married. We don't want him to have children. We don't want him to be mom zera in Yisrael. The Cheschinuch has a suffix. Whether a mom is chayav in the mitzvah peruvim, it's hard for moms to find someone to marry. Can't marry. The areas are different, very limited who we can marry. So the mechaschinuch has a shayla: is he mechuyav in the mitzvah peruvim? So the mechaschinuch has a svar to say that. Are you talking that the Torah gave us a mitzvah to have us mamzerim in Yisrael? That's the goal. We want let him get married, have 10 children, have more mamzerim in the world. Man. The only way for not to mamzerim is got to marry a shifcha. It's a whole chagaj in the end of the third prophet kedusha. So it could be that when you have a zera posel, so we don't really want this progeny to continue. We don't want this to continue. We want nebuch. It's a rachman. It's a terrible. You made a big, big mistake. You're a terrible avera, and we want this soul to end right here. So the word zera. On the one hand, includes Bnei Banim. On the other hand, doesn't include Zera Apostle. Whereas the word Bain just means Tachlis, biological descendant. That's it, finished. He's built out of me. The Bain is built out of me. That's it, finished. So he's carrying my physical characteristics. I don't care about future generations. Bnei Banim or not Kibanim in the word Bain, but Zera Apostle is considered to be the same. So come to Rishon Rabbah of the Kasha. There's a Gemara in the end of the third breath of Masechus Kedushin. The Gemara uses the word Zera. And uses the word Zera to include Zera Apostle as well. And that becomes a big problem. Anyone see the Gemara? The Gemara is talking about the Apostle in Parashas Pinchas, V'hoysa lo u'zaro acharov, bris kuhunas olam. Beautiful Apostle, right? Beginning Parashas Pinchas, because Pinchas did, V'hoysa lo, that's the bracha being a kohen, V'hoysa lo u'zaro acharov. So the Gemara has a drash on the Apostle, Zar acharov, bein Zera kosher, bein Zera Apostle. It means if a kohen has a child who's a zera apostle, he's still okay. Brisku dasam, he's still considered to be a kohen. What are the words mean? Who is the zera apostle? So Nebuch, what did he do? What did the kohen do? He married a who? He marries a grusha. He marries a zayna, a halala, a woman who's not permitted to marry. So now the resulting child is what? Leichal zara. The resulting child is a cholol. So what do you mean by cholol zara or brisku dasam? He's a kohen. He's not a kohen. What does the cholol mean? What's with cholol? So it's a chol. He's empty, he's devoid of conditions kuna. A chol is not a kohen, a chol doesn't duchen, a chol doesn't get the first aliyah. A chol can go to the cemetery, a chol can marry a grusha, he's not a kohen, bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. So what do we mean, v'yisul olzar achar bris kunas oylam, bein zara kosher, bein zara posel? So the Gemara says, no, this posel is being merames to me, teaching me a special, special din in the realm of avodas ha-karbonos. There's a special quirk, a special din in hukas avodas ha-karbonos, that a chol that does avoda. The avodah b'diavad is kosher. He's not allowed to do it. He's not supposed to do avodah. But the avodah that the cholo does b'diavad is kosher. It's a wild din. For all other din yatayri, he's not a kohen. And yet, if it was up to me, I would have said the other way. No, it's up to the Rosh. But I would have said, if I can, I would have said, kahuna, for avodah samikdash, that's the most strictest standards of kahuna. There's a feel of a cholol is considered to be the avodah b'diavad is still considered to be kosher. There's a big machlokes in Rishonim. Is this talking about a cholol hanoida or cholol shelo noida? The original case of the Gemara is that haya omer umachav agam emezech. A guy thought he's a kohen. His father's a kohen, so he thought his name was Katz. He thought all the years he was a kohen, and nobody told him that his mother was a grusha. So he's been doing avodah for the last 20 years, and all of a sudden One afternoon, he just finished, came back from the Beis Hamikdash. He's so happy with his mishmar. He was makiv the Kurban Tavid this morning. He was makiv the Musaf for Shchaya. He had a great day today. Someone comes and tells him, by the way, your mother was a grusha. You're not a kohen all along. So the Gemara says, no, but the evidence right. You don't have to bring the Kurban Tavid over here. But the evidence, everything's okay. Fine. Shine. So some Rishonim say that that's there's a custom of a filu cholol doesn't pass the avoda. It's only in this kind of a scenario where he didn't know about it. Means he was a chol shalol noida. Let's say he knew he was a chol already and he wants to do a voida, so that's possible even with the yavet. And other Rishonim say no. Other Rishonim say that chol doesn't pass a voida. Why does the Gemara always talk about the case of the yavet? Because he's not supposed to do it. Means if he knows he's a chol, he's not also to do the avoda. But the avoda is going to be kosher. So the Gemara didn't want to give a case if someone was doing an aveira, so he did it unknowingly. So this is a gzeres hakosam. The Gemara has another mokra. Anyone know the other mokra for this din? Yeah, another very, very interesting drasha. Baruch Hashem Cheloi. So when you get to Zayis HaBrach, it's a story, and you're there. Baruch Hashem Cheloi. When you get to that pasuk, so most people don't think that has anything to do with this halacha. Baruch Hashem Cheloi, the Pshuto Shemekha means that Baruch Hashem should bless their strength. They should be really strong warriors. So the Gemara says, no, Baruch Hashem Cheloi is a filu chalol in Shabbai. The Torah Shabbat explains that that comes to include even the Chalolim is still considered to be Baruch Hashem Chel, the Rosham will give a bracha to the Avodas HaKabbanis even brought by the Chalolim. So again, so different sources for the same din. But the din is that Chalol doesn't pass on the Avodah, at least by the Avodah. So comes the Gemara and says, how do you know this din? Because it says, Lazaro Acharav, Vaisalo, Ulazaro Acharav, Ulazaro, Bein Zer Kosher, Bein Zer Apostle. And Hashem said, what do you mean being Zer Apostle? You just got finished telling me in Kedushin Daf Dalet that Zer Apostle is not called Zer. If not for the special Yud, not for the extra letter Yud, so Zer Apostle would not have qualified to be Zer. So what are you talking about? How could the Gemara say being Zer Kosher, being Zer Apostle? So Tosfos has a teretz in terms of Lashon HaKodesh, of Dashim Sukkim. Tosfos writes that the word Zaro usually doesn't include Zer Apostle. Taisa has a whole cheshbon that the Torah really could have just written the Haisa lo uv no acharav. Why? Because it can only be talking about the son of a Kohen. Why? Because we're talking about Avodas HaKabbanis, so the girls don't do Avodas HaKabbanis. So the Torah could have just as easily written Beno. So when it wrote Zaro, is almost like a riboy. The word Zaro over here is Shalom HaTzerech. When the Torah could not have written Bain, so because Bain would have been misleading, would have thought only Bain, so then you can't tell anything. But when Torah could have easily written Bain and wrote an extra longer word, Zaro, that comes the Rav Zer Apostle. That's not Tosfos' point. But the Rashba has it, so it's a Lomdash Torah. The Rashba says, no, not all Zer Apostle are created equal. Not all Psulim are the same. What kind of a Psul are we talking about over here? How bad is this guy in condition? What is he? He's a what? How bad is the guy over here in Kedushin of Dalav Aleph? What's the Zer Apostle Gemara talking about? He's a mamzer. So says the Rashba, a mamzer, that's a disaster. A mamzer's not called the Zaro. A chol? Yeah, a chol is called Zaro. What's the big deal? I see about a Kayin Mesh, man. That's a problem. What's beyond the Rashba? It's just linguistics. So I think it's a little bit of a throwback to what we said. Why is it that the word Zaro somehow doesn't include Zer Apostle? Why is that? Because Zaro means B'nai Banim, because Zaro in future generations, the mamzer, we don't want mamzeres to continue. We want the guy, preferably, maybe he shouldn't be getting married. Could be Mechas Chilich's right. There's no mitzvah for a mamzer to get married to a mamzer in Yisrael. So we want that generation to end. So you have a guy who's a cholo. So would anybody in their right mind say a cholo is not mechuv in peru for review? A cholo can marry if he wants to. Chol can marry a Bas Kohen, can marry the Kohen Gadol's daughter also. There's nothing wrong with a Bas Kohen marrying a Chol. A Chalol is not allowed to marry a Kohen. Well, who's the Ruksheh? Is it not the Psul? Chol's had to marry whoever he wants. So let him have more children. I is going to bring more Chalol into the world. If a Chol has a... if a Chol marries... Let me make the Cheshvin right. If a Chol marries a Bas Yisrael, a total heter, so the daughter is still a chalol. The psul chalolos keeps on going from generation to generation. So it keeps on going through the male, the psul of chalolos. Not the other way around. Let's say you have a girl who's a chalola. So she was born from a kohen marries a grusha. So if you have a girl who's a chalola, so that chalola is allowed to marry Yisrael. There's nothing wrong with her marrying Yisrael. But that psul doesn't spread to the next generation. My mother learns that out from the psukim. So the psul chalol of a male does spread to the next generation. Psul chalola doesn't. Believe it or not, somebody asked me to shayla lemaisa last week. Not too many chalolim shaylas floating around, but every once in a while you get one. So somebody, last week, told me about two generations. There was a Kohen who married a Grusha, whatever it was. Kohen married a Grusha, and they had a daughter. So the daughter up here did as a chalol. So she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. But she didn't marry a Kohen, she married Yisrael, had to come. So now they had a daughter. So now this daughter wants to know, she asked me, is she allowed to marry a Kohen? So I had to think it through for a second. It's a Mishnah, it's a Mishnah. Nope, it's a Mishnah enough. The Mishnah says that Bas Chalol Zoch Apsulim Lekuna Le'olam Yisrael Shenasa Chalol Abito Ksheir Lekuna. So the first Mishnah that Ayin Zayin and Alfin is in this condition. On the Zafim Sukkim that the Psul Chalol is only spread to the man, not to the girl. It happens sometimes. Anyway, so getting back to this, usually no Pachti Shah is based on the Mishnah. I just checked in Shachroch, make sure I didn't miss anything. I won't do it now. I said this. That's the Lach. Okay, fine. So getting back to this story. So maybe that's what the Rabbi's driving at, that Chalol's not such a bad thing. What's a chalol? Come on. So we'll get married. We'll have more chalol. We'll come to the end. There'll be more chalol. We'll figure out. If he has any daughters, we'll keep them away for the time. But in terms of Amzeris is supposed to end. We don't want the Amzeris to continue for Dairis. So therefore, it could be that that's what the Rashba means, that when you're talking about the word Lazaro, Zara has a connotation of progeny. Is that word? Progeny, right? Dairis. So Deridaris, you want to say Chol is part of Deridaris, Chlin Makabal. You want to say that Mamzeira Bechlal Deridaris, that's not such a good idea. That's not going to happen. Okay, good. So we seem to have our definitions down pretty down pat. We understand the Gemara condition of Dalad. We see that the word Ben is different than Zera. Two differences, definition of Deibar, definition of Zera. False, everything seems to be fitting. I'm coming up to Shalom. Now we get to the more complicated part of the Sugya. Tosis makes an observation in the Sugya. Tosis focuses on the players in the sugya. Who are the players in the sugya again? So we have a Baskai, okay? I'm not going to give her a name. I'll just give her Baskai, all right? She marries who? She marries a very fine person. What should we call him? What name should we give him? Yeah, good. That's why I was going to name him also, okay? So we'll call him Yisrael, all right? And they have a child. Right? Who should we call him?
Benny?
Ben.
Oh,
we could do that. Okay, we could. We could think of another name also. Okay, we'll call him Benny? No. Okay. We'll call him Yitzchak. Okay, fine. So the Yisrael and the Baskayan have a child. And then, the Yisrael dies. So the Baskayin, she came from who? What was his name? From Aaron? Aaron Kayin, I don't know. Okay? If I knew my Pesukim and Chumash, I'd remember who exactly everyone was related to. Okay, basic idea here. So now, the Baskayin, she just lost her husband. She wants to go back to Aaron's house to go get dinner tonight. I hear they're having a lot of extra chum in the house. So the Torah says, no, you can't do that because Baskayin Kisi Amana Grusha Vizera Ein La. I'm here. I'm still alive and well, so you can't eat truma. If he dies, you can go and eat truma. Okay, but because I'm alive, you can't eat truma. So that's the model, right? So comes the Gemara and says, what if the players here are not as frum as we like? What if, we'll give a different name, the Baskayin goes ahead and marries someone who she shouldn't have been marrying? Someone who happens to be in Erevat Tahara. Obviously, the Kedushin aren't going to be Toface, right? That's for sure. She marries someone who's Asatar, so we need a bad name now. And we don't want to give him a nice Jewish name, Reuven Shimon Levi, right? So we'll give him, what do you call him? Give him a Jewish name.
Eduardo.
Call him John. Okay, John. All right? But he's Jewish. You don't want to be a guy, so it's a little misleading here.
Oh, he's Jewish.
Yeah, he's got to be Jewish. So he could have a nice name.
He was Yonatan Marriage
Guy. Right, oh, okay. Yechon. Yechon Mechune John. He's Balarayas, reviling Gilead Rayas over here, okay? And we don't want the last name we want to have here is Yitzchak. So who are we going to call this kid?
Xavier?
Mamzer. Okay, we'll call him Mamzer. Right. So comes the Baskoyan, who's quote unquote married to John. She's not really married to John, but it doesn't really matter because she's got a child from John. And that child from John, whether she was married, is married, will be married, that doesn't matter. Having a child who is a Yisrael, I mean, John's Jewish, she's Jewish, having a child who is a Yisrael, it ruins it for us. So here, Aaron says to listen, come back and do tshuva, you know, John is ready, finished, right? So come back and I'll give you dinner tonight. And she said, I can't. I got this little mamza kid who's stopping me from eating tshuva tonight. I can't do it. As I state in condition of Dalam and Aleph, right? Very lafil zera apostle. What? She was never there. She was married. She was never really married to John. It's clearly a rise. She created a mamzer. That means John was a. He was our brother. The mamzer of any chayav krisus. So that's the gzeres kosev. It's for this case that the Torah says zera ein lo. That's the yud. That you want to know when you're reading Parsha Zemo, why there's a yud in that word? It's for this case. He comes to us and says, I don't think so. I don't even need a pasuk for this. This is like, anyone can figure this out, that this Bas Kohen cannot, she's not invited back to eat truma. Why is she not invited to eat truma? Because what? She's a nivel, what we call a what? She's a nivel apostle of psula, the truma. By definition,
what?
She can't eat truma anyway. Once she had beer with Shadim with John, before the little mamza was ever born. When she has beer with Shadim with John, she becomes any woman who is, I'm being very careful of the terms I'm using, because that may or may not be the correct halachic term. We're going to get to as we go on. She's what's called Nivolo Apostle Psal. That's the Gemara that Taisus references. The Gemara says, Mamas. Taisus says, the Kaven should Nivolo Apostle Psal, but a Kuna, but a Techla Bichuma. Said, what are you hacking to China? Because the mamzer, because little mamzer is passing off as a little yud. She's psula, she's been psula for the last 5 years. Since the minute that she was mazan the first time around with John, she became psula to eat truma. So the nivel apostle psula. So, okay, what's the gemara talking about? So Taisa says we got the whole thing wrong. We blew it. We missed the whole case. You have to be asked bechila from John. What was his name before? Yisrael, right? What was his name before? I don't want to call him Yitzchak because he's about to do something bad. So what do I want to call him?
Isaac.
I want to make sure we know he's Jewish. On the other hand, he's about to become Balavera. So what do we call the other guy?
Nimrod.
We called him John before. We called him John, right? Nimrod, okay. Okay. What? Oh, yeah. All right, okay, they hold like the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra says that Hula Yagi Batsai Lefne Hashem. So Ibn Ezra says he was running around being Makai for everybody. Yagi Batsai, he was the biggest warrior for Torah. So Ramban writes, what? He says that Chazal say he was a Rosh HaMarush, he went through Avram into the furnace, and he's the tzad, he's running the Kiyur programs, he's running Esh HaTorah. So the whole thing doesn't make any sense. So the Mepharshim didn't really like that. Ibn Ezra's Pshat, I imagine he liked Ibn Ezra's Pshat. Okay, whatever. Okay, so he asked him, Shimon Bar Yochazan, we'll keep him in here. Okay, it's getting late. So here, Aaron HaKohen, he's sitting here trying to figure out what happened to his family. He's got a daughter who married a wonderful, we danced at the wedding, it was beautiful, they had a child, and the child goes off the deep end, and what does the child do? What does the child do now? The child goes ahead and takes a wife, I can't even call it a wife, and it's not really a wife, because it's someone who he wasn't supposed to marry, we'll call her also not such a nice name, right? We need someone Jewish. But what? A Russian name, I don't know.
Izevel.
Izevel, okay. So they have Nimrod, quote unquote, married Izevel, but he wasn't supposed to marry Izevel. She's an heir to him. And now, what do they have? What do they have? Now they have the mamzer, right? Little mamzer again, okay? Now look what happens, all right? In the interim, Okay, so he already died. Such machas, he already killed him. All right, so he's already finished. All right, Nimrod also dies. All right, and now Nebuch, you got this, the Altazay, the Aaron. He has one last wish to do what? To give his daughter something to eat. So he's such tzaras. Now he wants to feed his daughter a little bit of truma. So he wants to invite the Bas Kohen back to eat again. So listen to this. She can't eat. You know why? Why can't she eat truma? She's got Zera from the Yisrael. Who is the Zera? The only one left. There are no other children. There's no one left in his family. The only one left is this puzzle, is this mamzer. That's what the Chumash means to say, the Yod. That's the meaning of crossed out the Yod. He's gone. That's what it's supposed to say without a Yod. That's what the Gemara says. That's what this. So somehow we get a Yod in there. Okay. Turn that. So if you... that's the Chiddush HaTorah of the Yod, that is Zera Zara puzzle, not a Zera puzzle. Is there a Zara puzzle? That's the case. That's the case that the little baby mom's a grandchild mom's is going to prevent the grandmother from going back to the great grandfather's house to eat truma. That's the Chiddush HaTorah. What's the milo of this case? Why is this case so much better than the first case? Why do we have to add another generation? Because the Bas Kohen is what? What is she otherwise? She's great. She did nothing wrong. She married a wonderful guy. Lived together 50 years. Tzadik Yisrael Olam. His name is Yisrael. Nebuch had a child who went off the deep end and married and is mezana with his Zevel and raised the mamzer. What does that have to do with the Nebuch, the foremother? So she was k'shei olama to eat truma. So something went wrong in the next generation. So Tosfos like, look, Tosfos, look at the case. And they say, Zevin Fendai, you see for this case, I'm a reason, Tosfos, the Zerazar apostle Ka'amar, that came and she nibble the apostle of Psalm and Akahuna. Wow, what a tesis. Now, if you would have read this Gemara Kedushin, would you have chafed this? Would you have gone bothered with this kasha? It would have gone right by me. But tesis took the Gemara to task and said, you have to say, because otherwise, what was bothering tesis? Well, what was the aside of the nekuda of tesis' concern? Is that every case that creates a mamzer, by definition, will what? If it creates a mamzer, then it will automatically make the woman puzzle. There's no way that the woman can remain bekashrus and have a creation of a mamzer. What? It still creates mamzeres. So it still creates pasulos. So Tosfos is working with such dovah pashtas ma'ayin that if there's a mamzer on the table, if there's a child who's a mamzer, that's indicative that the emo is nifsula. There's no way to the son that you can break this equation, and therefore tell you how to change the entire chagat. There was any interesting Toshin Ein Zion, first time we're saying that, Toshin Ein Zion potential scenario where you could break this equation? Toshin can talk about it.
You mean modern day?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, so let's say you had a woman became pregnant but without a maaseh b'yayin. She had insemination, she now has a baby. The father, the paternity of this baby, is someone who she wasn't supposed to be marrying. It's her brother, it's whatever it is, someone who would create mamzerus with her. But we can't say she's psul kahuna. Well, the guy is going to be a whole different ballgame because he's not going to create mamzerus. So let's say you have a scenario where the father and mother, so to speak, are a union that could potentially create mamzerus, but they created a child without having a ma'asabiyah. So then the woman would be not nifsal kahuna, and they have a mamzer on the table. So in theory, you could have a case that without having to jump to the next generation, in theory, unless one is willing to say that no, then that case doesn't exist. You know why the case doesn't exist? Because who says that part of the Chagig we saw about a couple years ago? Who says that child would be a mamzer? There's something Rabbi Ramesha. Who says that child would be a mamzer? If you have two people who are not allowed to get married, who are potential creations, these are potential partners that will create mamzeros, but they form the child without the aveira via, is that child a mamzer or not? So it could be that the answer is no. If that child is not a mamzer, and that child is not a mamzer, then the case doesn't exist anymore. We're looking for a case where the child's a mamzer and the mother walks away scot-free, but she's still clean. She's still okay to marry her, to eat truma. So we thought, aha, we outsmarted Tosfos. We came up with modern day method that, or used to be the old day method called Nistat Rambati, whatever that means. So we came up with a method, Bizman Azeh, where you can create mamzerus without possibly the woman. So the answer is no, that may not be correct. Why? Because who says that that creates mamzerus in the first place? What creates mamzerus? Does the creation of mamzerus come about because of a father and a mother who are not allowed to marry, who are arayas to one another? Or does what creates mamzerus is the aveira of gilui arayas, is ultimately the aveira is the isur bia that creates mamzerus. So that was a big, big one. Look, Yevamos, we spent a lot of time in that. Subas, we spent a lot of time in that. Yevamos, every year. That was a major machlok. It's a poiskim to Reb Moshe and the Satmar Rebbe. This goes back 50, 60, 70 years ago. A long time ago, when Reb Moshe was first presented with questions about artificial insemination, so Reb Moshe has this in all of his tshuvas. He thought it was a davar pashut. That, again, we're not advocating, we're not saying what's a good idea, not a good idea, just in terms of this nakuda. Reb Moshe writes that it's impossible to create mamzerus unless there's a maisabia. Without a maisabia, from today till tomorrow, you're not going to have mamzerus. Therefore, according to Reb Moshe, if you have a married woman, even if you take zerum in HaYisrael, that child is not a mamzerus. That's Reb Moshe's klal gadol in Hilchos Mamzerus. In the absence of a maisabia, you will not create mamzerus. And that nakuda, that was one of the several nakudas that Rebbe disagreed with. He disagreed vehemently on that point. He thought that mamzerus could be created even without, even with the absence of a maisabia. So we spent a lot of time in all the lumdas and the rishonim, rayas, in terms of that sugya. But one of the discussions that the post can have is this Tosis in the Masechet Kedusha. The Tosis wasn't thinking in these terms. Maybe Tosis wasn't dreaming in these terms, but Tosis wasn't thinking in all these terms. But imtum seloimer, that you could have mamzerus and still have the woman be kshera, so this would solve the dilemma of Tosfos and wouldn't have to jump down to the next generation. But I hope bottom Tosfos didn't go down that route for whatever reason, maybe because of emotion or other reasons. And therefore Tosfos said that at the end of the day, the pasuk, the extra yod, the little letter yod, is not teaching me this wild scenario of a zerizaru who happens to be a man. Fine. How did Tosfos know, like such a double portion, that this, on the normal scenario, that this girl can't eat truma anymore? The Tosfos referenced the Gemara, they're invoking a sugi, and the Gemara is called Nivala Apostle Opsala. Those are the words that Tosfos uses. Nivala Apostle Opsala. Anyone look up that sugi? In Yevamos? What does that Gemara mean exactly? What did the Gemara say? What exactly does that term mean? So the Gemara in Yevamos Darshins in the Pasuk, Ubaskil Hen Kisi Yeli Ishzar, He Besubas Akadoshim Losochil. So that Pasuk has a lot of meanings. But the simple reading of the Pasuk is, a Bas Kohen who marries a Yisrael, the Izar. Izar is not a bad thing. Izar just means he's not a Kohen. Izar Karabim is not a Kohen. So she marries a non-Kohen, she can't be true anymore. At least calls man she's married to the Yisrael. That's the simple reading of the Pasuk. So the Toshu Bapes says there's a deeper meaning to that Pasuk. The Bas Kohen Kisil Izar, he Yisrael, Masa Kadosh and Mosaicha means that if she's Nivala to a Zar, someone who's bad, Zar means a stranger, someone who she shouldn't be together with, she's off limits, she can't eat truma, that's it, she's done the other part. Whether the husband's alive, dead, divorces are, doesn't matter. A new Isser called Vaska and Kisil Yizahi Besuma Sakadash Masachel, Nivala Laposala Upsala. So she's not allowed to eat truma anymore. So to understand that Gemara a little better, because that Gemara that Tosis is referencing, it's that Gemara that caused trouble for Tosis, that Gemara that forced Tosis to reread the Gemara condition of Da'al and make up a whole Langa, Megillah, Eadi, Zevelin, Mamzeh, Nimrod, a whole new generation to this picture, to complicate us a little bit, remind us of Maseches Yevamos, because they were so bothered with this kasha, what happened to Nivala Apostle Upsala? So it behooves us to go back to that Gemara Yevamos and understand what that Gemara did or didn't say. After the tomorrow, we'll try to finish up the sugya. Okay, so we'll get tomorrow, we have here, we decided that. Another thing, so we'll try to hopefully finish the change on us. So we'll try to.